Hello and a very good morning to you listening to Democracy in Action with me, Sunny Martin. Wherever you are listening to us today we shall be discussing more about the TNLA, the Transitional National Legislative Assembly. We shall be looking at the role of Parliament in promoting good governance in South Sudan. And as you might be aware, the 2018 Revitalized Peace Agreement requires that the TNLA shall be reconstituted to make a total number of 550 MPs from all parties to the agreement. And this last week, IGAD Council of Ministers called on the incumbent government to dissolve the parliament before the end of April to allow for the formation of the new legislature. In a statement released at the end of the meeting, the council urged President Kiir to dissolve the incumbent legislative assembly before 30th of April 2020. Joining me in the studio today to talk more about this, I have Honorable Nathaniel Oyet, who is a member of the National Constitution Amendment Committee and a senior member of the SPLM-IO. Good morning and welcome to Ready Mirror.
Morning.
We also have Honorable Paul Yuan Bonju, who is the chairperson of Information Committee at the Transitional National Legislative Assembly. Good morning and welcome to...
It's a pleasure, Sani Mwatio, to be with you this morning in your studios.
Yes, and we also have Caroline Kibos, who is a youth representative to RJMEC, the Reconstituted Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission. Welcome.
Thank you, Sunny.
Yeah, okay, let's begin right away. I will throw this question to all of us, beginning from Honorable Paul Yuan Bonju. Please, could you give us the current status of what do you know more about the reconstitution of this TNLA? When is it going to happen from what we are hearing?
That's a very, very important question, Sunny Matthews, that only not you in Amiraya Radio is trying to know, but the general public want to know exactly what is happening. Is the transitional national legislation, that is the two houses, the TNLA and the Council of States, is it really legal or illegal? And many others. So I want to say in a nutshell to begin with is that I'm here to respond to some of the pertinent questions or any issue which will be raised by either you or your audience.
Yeah.
It means we are, you see, we are not permanent.
Yeah.
You see, it means we are on a transition. A transition means, you see, something provisional. Transition means something in between. So to ask about the parliament, I think we are in a very, very close transition to complete the formation of the other arms of the government. We are done with the
presidency, the cabinet.
We are done with the cabinet. Now we are moving down to the states and maybe other layers of the government and also the transitional national legislature. And I think we are very prepared to have it actually reconstituted or transformed.
Okay.
Based on the agreement.
All right. We shall be coming back to you, Honorable Paul Yuan Bonju. Yes, Honorable Oyet, I know the definite answer of the SPLM-IO will be this parliament right now is operating illegally. So any more addition to that?
Thank you very much. The parliament actually is illegal.
Why do you say so?
It has outlived itself. The process of incorporating the revitalized agreement into the transitional constitution, once it's complete, it ends the current parliament effectively.
When was that supposed to be done?
Just one second.
Hmm.
It ends the life of the parliament effectively. The mandate of the parliament changes from that of the IT Gono to that of implementing the agreement. And also the membership also changes to be representative of the parties where you have the IG, a party to the agreement, is supposed to produce 332 members,
mm-hmm.
and IO 128 members, and then you have 50 for SOA, 30 for OPP, and 10 former detainees. And this membership currently does not exist in the parliament. So the parliament is effectively illegal.
Okay, so let's find out, we're coming back to Paulo and Bonju. Yes, Caroline, as a youth representative to RGMEC, are you worried with the delays in the reconstitution of this parliament?
Yes, that's a great concern, especially that the agreement says that at the end of the pre-transition period, the RTGONU should be formed. But when we look at a government, we have three organs that make up a government. That is the executive, the legislature, and then the judiciary. So if you only form one part of that, I don't think you formed the whole government, I mean. So up to now, I don't believe that the RTGONU has been formed because we don't have the transitional legislative assembly in place.
Okay. Yes, Honorable Paul Yanubonju, what are the reasons behind these delays in reconstituting the TNLA? From what you are hearing, because you are the spokesperson, you should be having an idea of why is the delay?
It is true, Sadi Matthews. Anybody you see who wants to win a case always justifies his argument with truth, and anybody also who intends to win a case illustrates his point by truth. Many actually have continued to say the current TNLA was operating illegal without quoting any article from the Transitional Constitution 2011 as amended, or from the revitalized agreement on the resolution of the conflict in the Republic of South Sudan. So those who are misled and are saying the current TNLA is illegal are not talking from an informed position. Mm-hmm. Okay, yes. Let me give Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give God what belongs to God. You see, the current TNLA is a body. Without it, we would not be having the current institutions. For example, the current incumbent cabinet, without this parliament actually incorporating the agreement on the resolution of the conflict in the Republic of South Sudan into the constitution for its provisions to be used by the presidency, then what we are talking is actually does not hold in water. Mm-hmm. So we are not saying they are permanent. No, what we know is that the agreement talks of expansion and talks of reconstitution. So to go back to your question, I think it is because of probably the current COVID-19, that is coronavirus, that actually has blocked probably the presidency from continuing. Otherwise, by now, you will not be hearing me as you introduce as the chairperson. Somebody somewhere might have come and taken over that seat.
Oh, so you might have retained.
If I'm performing. Mm. But if I'm not performing, then definitely I will have to go honorably and I will have to salute whoever is coming.
What justification can you give to those who are saying that the current parliament is operating illegally?
The justification is they did not quote any article. They did not quote article. Mm. In the agreement,
is there an article in the 2011 Transitional Constitution that justifies your existence right now? As per the agreement of 2018?
Definitely, it is there. Mm. And Sally Matthews, if you could allow me, because in February, you see, the Transitional National Legislature actually met. Mm-hmm. That is the two houses, and they conducted the Constitutional Amendment Number 6. In that constitution, probably amendment of Article 3 of the Constitution. Article 3 of the Constitution is actually amended by modifying, you see, sub Article 6 to read as upon the incorporation of the agreement, that is the revitalized agreement on the resolution of the conflict in the Republic of South Sudan into the constitution, and after ratification of the constitution by the national legislature shall transform itself into the transitional national legislature. So I think on that basis is where we are existing.
Okay.
Some are saying you are existing illegal, but are saying no, we are not existing illegal because without us, Without us, there's nothing. Nothing will be called a government without a parliament.
Okay, let's find out more from Nathaniel Oyet. What is your response here?
Okay, you see, when my friend says there is no legal basis for arguing that the parliament does not now exist as a legal entity, it's not really true. The agreement is very clear that once you incorporate the agreement into the constitution, the commencement of the transitional period starts, and it starts with a new parliament, reconstituted parliament, based on specific numbers, as I've pointed out earlier.
Yeah.
And what he is quoting, that Article 3, Sub-Article 6, it is a creation of the current parliament, actually, to extend their lives, to extend their tenure in office, contrary to the provision of the agreement. I don't want to really dwell on that violations.
Yeah.
The agreement established the National Constitutional Amendment Committee, representative of the parties. They are competent legal body to incorporate the agreement into the constitution. What took place in the parliament was usurpation of the mandate of the NCAC in the way that they went ahead to review the work of the NCAC. They inserted provisions that they wanted to see therein, and one of them is to extend their life in the parliament illegally, contrary to the agreement. Any legislation or any text that does not conform to the agreement is null and void. This is what I can say.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Caroline, as a youth representative, and you are hearing this kind of debate, sir. So, what is the say of the youth whom you represent in the RGMEC, from what you are hearing?
Well, what I would say is that the agreement says that the duration and the term of the reconstituted transitional national legislature and the Artugun should be concurrent until elections are held, meaning that these people should come into office together and finish together until the elections are held. As I said earlier on, up to now, personally, I don't think Artugun is fully formed.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's not fully formed, that means that we are creating different terms of offices for these people. The executive has already started its work and the parliament has not yet been reconstituted. Are we trying to say that if the parliament is reconstituted, for example, tomorrow, they are going to finish at a later date than the executive? Because the agreement is clear in saying that these people should run in office concurrently. And up to now, I'm saying this Artugun is not fully formed, because if you're to form a government, you have to have three organs in place: the executive, legislature, and the judiciary, of which right now we have a fully running executive. Not even full, because some of the executives at the state level have not yet been appointed.
Mm-hmm.
So we only have the cabinet, the council of ministers at the national level running. And then we do not have, and then of course the judiciary is there, because the agreement only calls for reforms in the judiciary.
Yeah.
And then one arm is totally neglected.
Okay. Yes, Honorable Paul Yanibonju, last week the TNLA came under fire from some members of the government. In this case, the Minister of Defense, Honorable Angelina Ten, she was summoned by the TNLA, and her response was that she could not appear before this current TNLA because you people are operating illegally. She said she's willing to appear before a reconstituted TNLA that will comprise of 550 members of the RTNLA. So the question right now is, let me go back again. When you summon a minister and this letter was written back to you, what was the response of, first of all, the speaker and the members of the parliament?
Sani Matthews, the Minister of Defense and Veterans Affairs is entitled to her opinion.
Mm.
And if you don't know, I want to refresh your memory that probably we are the best democracies in the region,
mm-hmm.
and probably in the world. Even a radio station, you see, can sometimes play a contrary view.
Mm-hmm.
But in other countries, you can't find that one. So without this parliament, the incumbent Minister of Defense and Veterans Affairs would not even open her mouth and talk. Who appoints her under which provisions of the law? Okay, who appointed even the five vice presidents? Look, without this TNLA, nothing symbolizes presence of any government. So what I want to say in simple terms, the minister, our Minister of Defense and Veteran Affairs, is supposed to be sitting in a chair of an instituted or where the security organs is transformed and constituted. So is the minister ministering a transformed army at the moment? This is the question I think we need to ask. Is the minister ministering a reconstituted, professional, unified army? If not, let the minister tell the South Sudanese people who is legal and who is not illegal. Because by as per the provisions of the agreement, the minister is supposed to be administering a transformed and also an army which is a professional comprising everybody in South Sudan. So as I said before, it is a matter of time. I said we are in a transition. So the minister needs time. So for her to say it, the parliament is illegal, I don't think that one holds water.
Mm-hmm.
Because even she should look also at her ministry, because she's supposed to administer a professional, a transformed, unified army, which is the South Sudan People's Defense Force. You need to go to the minister and ask her. It is not me.
Okay, according to her letter, I'll respond to you. She said she's willing to appear before a reconstituted TNLA, not this current one, because your term have elapsed, and then now we are supposed to have a reconstituted. That's her base of argument, and she's willing to appear if we have a new TNLA or expanded, as you may like to call it.
Sally Matthews, I don't want to repeat myself, but I actually respect. You see, I respect the opinion and I respect the argument of the minister. But let me tell you one thing. You see, if you want to be a good minister, one day you become a minister. If you want to be a very effective minister, you need to frequent yourself with the parliament.
Mm-hmm.
But if you begin arguing with the parliament, that takes me to what the Bible says, that when Jesus said, don't be afraid of he who kills the body, but you be afraid of somebody who kills the spirit. You see, the parliament is not a simple institution. She will today avoid us, but tomorrow, next month, next year, she will appear in the same parliament. Then, what do you think will happen?
Okay, let's find out more from our Honorable Peter Nathaniel Oyete. She's not the only person who was summoned, the Minister of Defense. We also hear Minister of General Education was also summoned to appear before the TNLA. So, and we have already this complaint that it's not right for the current TNLA to be summoning ministers before the expansion happens. What is your take on it?
Thank you very much, Sunny Martin. Let me just stress this point, that we are in a transition. Yes, we are implementing an agreement, and the agreement established the Artigonu with its component parts, the presidency and the Council of Ministers. I'm surprised that the Honorable spokesperson of the Parliament is trying to ask to question legality of the Council of Ministers or its members, including the presidency. That's one. Two, the minister, of course, cannot appear before a parliament which is not reconstituted. The parliament, as it stands now, is basically one party, Itigonu Parliament, and in fact, we expect the quota of Itigonu to be 332 in terms of membership, plus the rest of the parties also producing their quotas, then we will at that point say the parliament is duly reconstituted and it is the parliament in accordance to the agreement. Yes, other ministers appeared before the before the parliament, including the one for general education, higher education, and the rest. It is not me to say I would advise them what to do, because they, for instance, come from different parties, and most probably they are not conversant with the revitalized agreement, which of course established the TNLA reconstituted. So if they have gone ahead to appear before a parliament which has not been reconstituted, that is their business. But for us who want to implement the agreement and who know the text of the agreement, we shall always do the right thing.
Okay. Now, what effect does these delays in the expansion or reconstitution of the TNLA have on the implementation of the revitalized peace agreement?
Obviously, we have now delays. There are some laws that should be passed by the current parliament, and among them are security-related bills, which the NCAC has already worked on and reviewed them. We also have Political Parties Act bill that has been also worked on by the NCAC. We have issues related to the budget. As you know, Artigonu is supposed to come up with its own budget and programs, policies, as per the agreement. This also is being affected. The executive cannot do much without the reconstituted parliament, oversighting or executing its mandate. So the oversight role of the parliament is very critical. At this point in time, we don't have such a parliament, and therefore this mandate of oversight also doesn't exist as of now.
Okay. Let's find out more from Carolyn. You have been monitoring this agreement right from day one, and now Igadi Council of Ministers extraordinary sitting last week gave the parties at least 15 days, that is up to the end of this month, that is for them to actually try to iron out these outstanding issues of the parliament, the states. From an outside view, do you think the parties might meet the deadline?
Well, I think they should if we really mean to implement the agreement. I'm not seeing anything difficult in meeting that deadline, first of all, because since February we've been hearing them say that they are committed and they are working towards formation of this government. So I think this shouldn't be a problem. They should all be having their lists ready at least to be submitted, and then we see what to do. But on the question of the minister's refusal to appear before the parliament, what I would say is that Artigonu is a partnership government. In a partnership government, responsibility is shared among the different parties that are stated in the agreement. So it's only natural that the minister would not want to appear before a one-sided parliament or a parliament which only has one party in it. I would feel that concern from that side. And it's only because also the agreement says that the parliament should be reconstituted and should have all these five parties in it. However, I would also say that based on our current situation on humanitarian and emergency grounds, saving where we need to, we are losing a lot of lives. We've not yet started losing them, but because of our capacity, we think we do not want to reach to that extent of losing a lot of lives. So based on this emergency, this coronavirus emergency, I don't think it's a bad idea for them to work together.
Okay. The question people are asking, why should always the parties to the agreement wait for an outside to come and put pressure on them to do what they're supposed to do? Like right now, there's pressure already mounting on the parties now. Given 15 days, do this, do that. Why always do you wait for pressure from outside?
Maybe because we are used to doing things that way. But I wouldn't look at it as outside again, because South Sudan is part of IGAD. So it's not, it's just like,
but right now, this
if you
is
have
coming
a problem
from
at home, mm-hmm. if you have a problem at home, if your five brothers at home and you have a problem and then one of the brothers sits all of you down and says, hey, I think this should be done, and this, like this, this and this. It's not an outside thing. It's just, it's still within the family. Even if you're grown up, you're mm-hmm. still from the same father.
Okay. Yeah. Let's find out more from Nathaniel. Okay. First from Honorable Paul Yanbonju. Last month, the SPLM-IO wrote a complaint letter to RGMEC, complaining that some changes were introduced into the bill, and it was signed by the president, and they were actually, they said it was a violation actually of the whole process of the agreement. So, and RGMEC also, we saw the copy, wrote to the president, and the president's office decided to write back, quoting some articles. So, the SPLM-IO accused the, or complained that the defunct IT Gonu introduced a lot of changes into the bill. So, what is your response here? Because it was in the parliament. In
well, let me appreciate what my colleague Oyed Nathaniel has just said, mm. and Sister Caroline. These are important issues. But if you go to page 7 and article 8.4, it talks about this agreement amendment. So that this agreement may be amended by parties with at least two-thirds of the members of the Council of Ministers of the revitalized transitional government, and so on and so forth. So there are mechanisms. If at all one side feels that another side has contravened the agreement, there are mechanisms to sort out these issues. So it, me personally, I believe that all of us were partners in implementing this peace agreement, and really, really we want peace, because the people of the Republic of South Sudan have suffered enough. So the issue of us complaining and raising dust, I think, will not help us. What we need probably to hear is that the SPLM AIO will be presenting, it is 128 members. The SOA will be presenting, it is 50 members. The political parties will be presenting the 30 members. And also the FDs, that is the former political detainees, will be presenting the 10. And us in the SPLM government, we also will be presenting our 332 to make 550, so that we go and we begin the business, because the country actually needs
but
us.
The question people are asking, so, when will this happen? Because the more you delay, the more, because we have a deadline, by the way. We have a time to meet.
Sally Matthews, deadlines, you can set deadlines in countries whereby you say everything is 100% going on very well. Mm-hmm. Today you cannot talk of setting a deadline in America, where coronavirus actually has hit the United States of America. So, as I said, we are in a transition. What we need is to understand ourselves as sons and daughters of the Republic of South Sudan. Mm-hmm. I think if you do that one, we'll look at the things that, okay, those in the parliament are illegal and they are on and so on. Let us begin to be always positive. Mm. We should not be negative. I think if we are positive, I'm sure the solutions to our problems will be sorted out.
Okay. Yes, you can join us right now on 0912062079 or 0912062950 and call us, ask your questions to our guest in the studio here. Hello, Redimire. Hello, Redimire.
Yes, hello.
Yes, your name and where are you calling from?
Yes, this is Santino from Castro.
Okay, Santino, go ahead with a question from Castro.
Okay. Yeah, thank you for my. So I have a question to the guest in the studio there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are some challenges that are facing the...
Hello, Santino? Hello? Yeah, network problem. Keep calling on the same number, 0912062079 or 0912062079. Hello, Redimire. Hello, Redimire.
Yeah, San Martin.
Yes, your name and where are you calling from?
Yeah, good morning. This is Isaac Man from Isilema.
Okay, please go ahead with the question.
My question is just based on how should they can work so hard so that people should be having a full government in South Sudan, most national level and state level. This is my question.
Okay, thank you so much. Hello, Redmira. Hello, Redmira. Yeah, okay, let's go back to our panelists here. Let me ask this question together with the one of Santin Isaac from Juba here. Honorable Nathaniel, what do you know? Why is the delay in this reconstituting the KNLA and even formation of the state government? And how can the parties work together to iron out these issues?
Okay, thank you very much. The NCAC has written letters to the parties 3 months ago, asking them to submit a list of the nominees to TNLA. And the parties have been working to do so, and we have noticed as a committee that some parties have challenges. Parties, especially with composite membership, like SOA, OPP, they have been having a lot of challenges to generate the list. There are disagreements over which how many seats should be given to party A, party B, and so on. This is what partly is delaying the submission of the list. Also, there are, I think, calculation by these parties as well to first determine the, you know, the state allocation. As you know, they have disagreed on the allocation of states, on the application of the power sharing ratios. So some parties are calculating that they want to know first their entitlement in the states, then after make appointments and nominations based on their political realities and expedience in this context. So partly also the delay is accounting to the deadlock over the state establishment of government at that level. I'm happy that IGAD communique, the Council of Ministers of IGAD resolved to set a deadline for the parties to meet in the formation of a state government and also in the reconstitution of the TNLA. And this, we hope that we shall overcome the challenges with the formation of the TNLA, Council of States, and also the state government.
So far, how many names have the NCAC received from any party to the agreement?
Well, the secretariat is the one in charge of collection of the names. You know, we have also been affected by the corona pandemic of physical distancing. But that is the right question to be answered by
them,
the secretary.
Okay. We do have another question coming via SMS here from Deng. He says this is going to Nathaniel Oyet. Thank you so much for your explanation. We always like honest questions and answers. His question is, Honorable Nathaniel, we have seen in recent days there is massive defection from the SPLM-IO to the government. What impact will this defection have on the implementation of the revitalized peace agreement?
Thank you very much. It's called Deng?
Yeah.
Well, Deng, I'm not the spokesperson of the SPLM, SPLA-IO. You can talk to Comrade Mabior or his deputy, Manawa Peter Gatkwaf. He will shed more light better than myself.
Okay. Yeah. All right. As we are almost coming to the end of this, Honorable Paul Yadbonju, once this TNLA is reconstituted, what do you think will be the priorities of this TNLA in the first 100 days?
The first priority is San Mateus, as per the revitalized agreement on the resolution of the conflict in the Republic of South Sudan, is actually to assist in implementation of this agreement in letter and spirit. So this parliament will be engaging the stakeholders from all political parties who are parties to this agreement to come and enlighten the public about the implementation processes. Because, as I said before, it is only through this parliament that we in the government, SPLM in the government, our colleagues from the SPLM-IO, those from SOA, and those from OPP and FDs will have to come based on the assignments given to them to come and enlighten the public exactly what are they doing. Are they succeeding? Are there challenges? And what is the way forward? So I believe that the first priority actually is going to be the implementation of this agreement in letter and spirit. And I believe that the honorable members, once this parliament is reconstituted, we will work as one team. Despite, of course, we'll be having political gimmicks, but these political gimmicks will be positive because we are going to put the country ahead of us rather than putting ourselves first. So, Sani Matthews, it's a very good question, and I believe that through you, our colleagues in the media fraternity, nothing actually will be difficult in implementing this agreement. What we need is our commitment and us putting our people first rather than ourselves.
Okay. Yes, Caroline, many people really are not really, I don't know what I should say, are losing hope in the way this agreement is being implemented. First, it took a long time for the presidency to be formed. It also took a very long time for the cabinet to be formed. Now, it is taking a very long time for the state governors to be appointed. It is taking a long time for the parliament to be reconstituted. We have the coronavirus that has come in, and some people might take advantage of this pandemic to play their own game. Really, what should be the way forward here? As many people are losing hope, actually.
Well, what I would want to say is that life is not a straight journey. It has a lot of hills, it has a lot of valleys, there are a lot of rivers in between and all these things. What is so important is the commitment and the will to do what is right. Because sometimes you're faced with situations that will derail you. These are the challenges that we are facing right now that are derailing the implementation of this agreement. But if our politicians have the will and they are committed to work it out, I think we shall all be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll also urge the citizens that let's keep ourselves informed and let's keep these people in check, because the only way we can be able to hold them accountable, to keep them in check, is if we are aware of what is going on and are also conversant with what the agreement talks about. Then I also want us to, let's not do selective reading, or we take some things and leave others, thinking others are more important than others. This agreement is supposed to be read together with the Constitution. And it's only when there is a conflict or there is some inconsistencies between the agreement and the Constitution, that is when the agreement should be, the agreement supersedes the Constitution. But this thing of us only taking one part and leaving the other part is not good. That's when we misinterpret things, or we interpret things in a different way.
Okay. And finally, Nathaniel, what should be your final remark as our time comes to an end for today?
My final remarks is, we, the parties, and especially SPLM, SPLA-IO, are committed to the implementation of the agreement in letters and in spirit. We might be facing challenges of course, delays in establishing the government and, implementing some provisions within the context also of these corona pandemics. But obviously, the agreement is the best way forward for this country. The security arrangement, the political track must go ahead, must be implemented. and the parties must understand actually the text and the spirit of the agreement. The confidence that was built since we started the implementation 8 months, 6 months, and 100 days, and now we have a partial government in place, should be consolidated. The parties should build trust, more trust, and confidence among themselves. Mm-hmm. We now have presidency working. What we see happening, for instance, with the task force on coronavirus, where you have the president, who is the chair, and then you have the deputy, the first vice president, and they're working hand in hand. This is what we want to see in all the implementations of the agreement provision.
Right. Thank you so much. Yes, very brief, in 1 minute, Honorable Paul Yanbonju, as you conclude, because our time is really up.
It is true. It is true, Sunny Matthews. As we conclude, I just want to assure your listeners that the current transitional national legislation, although yes, there is a controversy on about its existence, it is actually there for the welfare of the people of this country. You remember when this coronavirus actually appeared and hit the country, the parliament was the first actually to come out with some of the resolutions and recommendations, including even the speed up for on the formation of the state government. This shows that we are not there on our own. We are there for our people, and we believe that together with our colleagues who are partners in the peace, we'll overcome all the challenges which are facing the implementation of this agreement.
Thank you so much, Bo, for coming to our studio. We appreciate your time, and that was Honorable Paul Yanbonju, Chairperson of Information Committee in the TNLA. We also had Nathaniel Oyet, member of NCSC and senior member of the SPLMIO, plus Carolyn Kibos, who is a youth representative to RJMEC. My name is Sunny Martin, and you have been listening to Democracy in Action, and stay tuned to Radio Mirai.